tearing it up for Ohio State.
You've waited all day for this.
No one got to stand away.
He's going to take it to the house. 85 yards. Down the right side going. Devin Smith got it at the 5 and into the end zone. Touchdown.
The one show that's nothing but the Buckeyes.
Oh, and Brad Rucker for the touchdown. Kraft shoots it high on the right for 3. Yeah.
This is the Buckeye Show.
Presented by Schottenstein Roofing. For top quality and a price match guarantee, visit schottensteinroofing.com.
Here we go on our Tuesday edition of the show. I'm Timmy Hall. We've got so much to talk about. The Bode Man is back there. It's good to see you, buddy. I got to tell you, that national championship game last night, it was good for about 10 minutes. It was good for about 10 minutes when Zach Edey was feeling himself, as you should. When you come out hot like that, he had that putback two-handed slam, and you saw the look in his eyes when he was trotting back on defense. But outside that first 10 minutes, UConn was clearly the better team. Dan Hurley told you as much right there on the podium afterwards. I thought that was really interesting. You could tell Dan Hurley, he loves him some Dan Hurley.
Yeah, he likes to feel himself up pretty good.
Hey, you know what? Hey, when you Hall of Famer now.
Do what they do in the tournament the last 2 years.
I got to tell you, it was just, it's crazy to see UConn dominate like this with the way the game is. I think that's what I'm trying to spit out. There's so many different ways you can take this, and I've heard all the discussions throughout the day, and they're all very interesting about what this means for college basketball, but it's the fact that UConn can throw together a mini dynasty with the way the game is changing right in front of our eyes. That's the spectacular thing to me. Bodie, we can't figure out how to keep a roster together for a year. A year! And they lose a couple of key guys. They go and make some replacements. I think it's just an example of what you have to do. You have to hope for, you know, maybe a 2 year stretch of having some really good players. That helps. And if you lose a couple pieces, you can go and get a guy like Cam Spencer from Rutgers. And he fits right in, and he can be one of the better players in the country for you. But to have what they had with Klingon and Caravan and Tristan Newton and Spencer all together, you're rarely going to see a team that's that dominant offensively and defensively. And this is why they're 37-3 and they're the national champ. Purdue was close to them. They were the best two teams in college basketball all year, but UConn proved it throughout that entire second half. They, despite Purdue keeping it around that 10 to 13 point margin, and that was because of what they could do with Zach Edey by dumping it down low, UConn took them to school. That was an offensive and defensive clinic out there, Bode.
I think that's what has impressed me the most watching UConn, especially in this tournament run this year. They just put together so many good possessions time and time again on offense and defense that it's like, I don't know how you keep up with them. They're obviously really talented and really well coached. It's UConn. They always have had a lot of talent in the last two decades, but they aren't like loaded with a bunch of five stars or loaded with, you know, three, four guys that are going to go in the lottery in the NBA draft in a few months here. They just consistently possession after possession. It's kind of like the Thanos quote from Avengers. You can dread it. You can run from it. Destiny is still going to arrive. And with them, it's just, over the course of 40 minutes, they are just going to break you because they just consistently put together so many good possessions on both sides of the ball.
They just have the best game.
I don't know how you keep up with them.
They just have the best game. They have the best style. And look, Zach Edey had 37 points and 10 boards.
And it wasn't even close.
Not even close. And again, like, he was 15 for 25. So that's actually too many shots for what they want to do. They have to be more balanced, and they weren't. But that was just sad. I mean, Braden Smith had 12, but he was 4 for 12 from the floor. Most of his shots, he was kind of getting a few feet inside the three-point line. Then he'd have to fade a little bit because their defense was so good underneath. And then he would shoot a fadeaway jumper from 16 or 17 feet, and he would miss most of those. Just wasn't good, efficient offense from Purdue. It was from UConn. And here's the bit of hyperbole I'll throw for UConn's way, because there's a lot of stuff I want to get to on the show. The fact that they have won the 6 national championships now, all since 1999, that matters to me. I don't think you can understate or undercut that at all, or try to take away or say, well, in the grand scheme of history, you look at what some of the blue bloods have done. UConn's top 25 all time in wins, okay? But the NCAA tournament, which to me is the greatest event that there is, didn't expand to 64 plus teams until 1985. They've won all 6 of their national championships where you've had to go 6 wins in that bad boy, in that beast of an event to win it all. They've done it six times. Nobody else has even done it three times since it's expanded like that. I kind of felt it with Dan Hurley. They've run college basketball. They're a power brand. We get it. Great shorts, right? Best basketball shorts in the business. You go to that retro hoop site that's out there that makes the game shorts. They're fantastic. You go back to, you know, Charlie Villanueva, Khaled El-Amin, Rip Hamilton, those guys, they could ball. Ray Allen, I mean, come on.
He was pretty good.
Pretty good. But they're the best, actually. They're better than Duke. They're better than Kansas. They're better than North Carolina. They're better than Kentucky. And you can take some of those and piece them together. They're better than a couple of them combined with what they've done. They're outrageously good at cashing in when it matters most in the NCAA tournament. So it's ultimate respect. I mean, being a college basketball guy and wanting someday, hopefully, that Ohio State can just scratch the surface on that level, just win, get to a Final Four. Hopefully, I mean, winning that second national championship in, you know, Ohio State basketball history would be so satisfying. You cannot even imagine. We have that debate about what would we want in town, you know, the Ohio State football championship, a Stanley Cup win for the Jackets with what that does for the town, right? With Jackets coming up tonight at the end of a miserable season and how deflating and depleted
that,
it feels.
That one might be a few years
to have
off.
A miserable hockey team. But when we get a taste of just them being in a first round, it's unbelievable. But all of it falls short compared to an Ohio State basketball team winning this national championship in this tournament and what that would mean. I can't imagine it, but credit to them. They're the best. They're the best blue blood in college basketball right now and in the last 30 years. Just give it to them. They've done the work. Simple as that. They've done the work. There's nothing more frustrating as a sports fan then when you know you've got the history, the tradition, the power brand, all the eyeballs on you, an advantage in recruiting just because you've been that guy for 100 years or whatever it is, and you're always going into the season really good, ranked in the top five. Is this hitting at any point, you know? Is this ringing a bell right here? Like, again, Ohio State football, we need to cash in. We've got to do it. We're always starting right there at the top of the pile. We've just got to cash in and win some of these natties and be a little bit more like that. That's what it's about. There's nothing worse than when you know you're one of the best teams and you can't get up there in that race to win national championships, because that ultimately, there's more to it than just that, but you're playing to win those championships and to hang banners. So best week of the year for me. Best week of the year. You go from this. Yeah. Shut that down right away. Then you go right from that into this. Oh, the mood changes. College basketball goes into the off season, and we will make our way down to Augusta, Georgia. Here at Augusta National Golf Club for the playing of the Masters Tournament. I always stop and think, the kid in us, right? You have that dream job, whether you wanted to be a play-by-play guy or whether you wanted to be a big-time sports talk show host, a sports center anchor. That was huge growing up. But before long, as I loved the NCAA tournament so much, and as you've listened to me through the years, you know golf is maybe one of my second great loves next to football and basketball and my family.
Your family.
You can't count your family. Your religion. Family, religion,
March
golf,
Madness,
March Masters. Madness, college football, and the Washington Commanders. It's one of those things where you think about Jim Nance, who's done in hoops now, of course. And we've seen him as a fan. He's done in hoops, but he's been hanging out. You would get to call three straight weeks, and you're on the A team in the NCAA tournament. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-da-ba. You do all that. Final Four, national championship. Next thing you do, Tuesday morning, you're on a private jet. You're going to one of the most pristine pieces of property in the world, one of the most exclusive courses, one of the finest events in golf. It's a tradition unlike any other for a reason. It's the Masters on CBS.
Not a bad gig.
I was always just floored by it. I would think about it. It would dominate a lot of my thoughts for these 2 days, just thinking about the gig. That's it. Just you're thinking about Jim Nance and how he got to do this. And he's still going to do the golf. So that's going to be great. And it also got me thinking about this too, the broadcasting geek in me, and maybe some of you guys care about this. Vern Lundquist is going to do his 40th Masters and he's going to be done. And I do think this was one of the greatest moments in golf history when Tiger Woods had his chip in on 16 green, which is where Vern Lundquist calls all the action on that famous par three. It actually got our Buckeye, what great story of the week. A current Buckeye golfer, Neil Shipley, is playing in the Masters. And this was the moment, as he was a Pittsburgh kid growing up, one of the first Masters he can remember watching was when Tiger made the big chip in and invigorated him on golf and the dream to get here. And now he's going to be here this year. And Vern Lundquist is going to do his 40th Masters and he's going to be done. I got it right here for you. Bodie pulled this for me. That's Vern with Tiger Woods. Oh, baby.
And he's picked out a landing spot that is a good 25 feet above the hole.
Here it comes.
No way.
Oh, my goodness.
No. No way. Wow!
Have you seen anything like that?
Vern, you're a legend. Unbelievable. I got to meet him once when I was a student. I was a student at KU, and we were getting ready to do a broadcast of a big Sunday CBS game. It was Kansas and Oklahoma State, back when John Lucas was one of the great guards for the Cowboys. And he could not have been more genuine, could not have been a nicer guy with his time, talking to a couple of aspiring broadcasters that wanted to do something like that someday. And I'll never forget that. So that's going to be awesome for him. Hey, I heard our guys on Bishop and Friends discussing something this morning on their show. I was almost jumping at my radio to join in. I will get to do that next. You got the Buckeye Show right here on The Fan.
Death, taxes, and beating Michigan every damn year. This is your flagship home for Ohio State football. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. The home of Big Ten championships and future first rounders. You're listening to The Buckeye Show.
Yes, you are. I'm Timmy Hall. Thank you guys so much for checking out the show tonight. I know you do a lot of nights, and it's much appreciated. We love you here. If you miss anything on the program 10 minutes after it's done, just search up The Buckeye Show. We talked national championship if you were a little bit late joining us right there at the top of the hour. So we talked UConn and Purdue, some thought bubbles on what that means for the Huskies, and just search it up anywhere you get your audio. The Buckeye Show. Get in the podcast feed, download, subscribe. It's great. I got to tell you real quick about my friends at Tri-State Men's Health. So there's that thing out there. It's that two words that the guys that are, you know, getting to a certain age don't like to hear. Erectile dysfunction. Ah, it's bad, bad. Got to turn that into erectile function. And my friends at Tri-State Men's Health, they can help you with that. Just call them 800-900-9654 or check them out at tristatemenshealth.com. They've got treatments with success rates well over 90%. Most men will be treated successfully. Some of these treatments can have you lasting an hour or more. Dear God. And they've got convenient locations right here in town, too. The one that I visit for the low T treatments in Hilliard, beautiful facility right off of 270 and Cemetery Road. So easy to get to. I get the shot in the ace, and then I whiz out of there, and I'm in work in, you know, less than 10 or 15 minutes. And they've got the new one in Westerville. So convenient locations. And again, you don't got to mess around with it. ED can contribute to depression, distancing, conflicts, even breakups and divorce. And it's easily treatable for most men, but some guys just don't want to seek the treatment even when they should. It's just the thing about it. So it doesn't have to be. Initial visit is just $99, medical consult. You get all the good stuff, the T and PSA test. And if medically advised, a test dose. If that doesn't work in the office, your visit is free. TriStateMen'sHealth.com. Tell them Timmy Hall sent you. So I'm listening to Bishop and Friends this morning, and they were talking college basketball. And they got into the old debate that I love to jump in on every now and then. And it's always there. But a lot of the times as the season is progressing, you don't know what sort of to go to for judging these things. Talking about determining the best conferences. And speaking in college basketball here, because the tournament just ended and UConn won a national championship. But the Big Ten and their performance is always the elephant in the room. Now, I was looking at this thing that some of the guys at Michigan State's USA Today, Spartans Wire website put together, and they were looking at the Sweet 16 performance. That's a good benchmark, right? Wouldn't you say, Bodie?
Second weekend. Yeah.
Yeah, work done in the NCAA tournament, that means something. It's what we couldn't achieve here with Chris Holtmann, and it's why we are where we are. Ohio State last was there in 2013. Remember, I was moving into one of my new houses in Hilliard, watching that game at a Red Robin. Red Robin on Hilliard Rome Road, drinking some cold beers. Yum. Yeah. Oh, it's fantastic. And they had that game against Wichita State where they were getting blown out and they came back, didn't quite make it, a chance for another Final Four there. I'm like, this is great. Basketball is awesome here in Columbus. We're looking to get back to that. But going down the list, these are the number of teams in the Big Ten that have even made a Sweet 16 since 2017. Until Illinois jumped into the party, it was only three teams in the whole conference that have had Sweet 16 runs since 2017. Wisconsin last did it in 17. Purdue, of course, has done it. Michigan had one in 2022, and Michigan State had one last year. Now Illinois into the mix. That, to me, just sounds bad. Shockingly low. Because the depth of the conference is good. We agree that the floor has come up. Where you can't just, about that.
Yeah,
you can't you can't walk into Rutgers. You can't walk into Northwestern. You don't see Penn State on the schedule and they're just automatic wins. We had some of that when it was peak Thad and you had six wins when the conference was smaller. Nebraska used to suck, right? Those are automatic wins. We don't have that anymore. But I heard the guys talking and they were just going through what they look at. And Bo kind of ended the discussion by saying, where he would have the Big Ten placed. He said, maybe in a given year, they could be fourth. Because you used to always hear, you'd hear Holtmann talk about this all the time, the best conference in the country. What's the coach of a Big Ten basketball team going to say, right, when they're talking up their teams? And I did hear Holtmann, when he took the DePaul gig, the Big East became the best conference in the country.
Yep. Let's go.
Right? That's how it goes. But again, I'd have it behind the Big East. I'd have it behind the SEC here recently with what they've done. Even the conference that gets crapped on for their RPI and their strength throughout the season, the ACC. But Bodie, they've had a lot of different teams that have made deeper runs. Florida State, Miami, teams like that have made runs. NC State just to the Final Four, and they've got teams at the top that win national championships, and it's not just Carolina and Duke. Virginia won a national championship. Purdue was there. They made it to the finals. They got their Final Four scratched off, but still the overall number of teams that are making deep runs has not been there for the Big Ten. You could say the Big 12. You could say the Big East, the SEC, the ACC. You could be, depending on who you're getting into the debate with, the Big Ten could be down there at fourth or fifth. I know they're not a bad conference, but you get my point. Sooner or later, you gotta win this thing. We can't keep saying, think about it this way. UConn has won five national championships. Just UConn. Five. Since Michigan State won its last one for the conference.
Yeah, the Big East we kind of thought was dead like a decade ago. And how many national championships have they ripped off since then? Three, right, with UConn in 14 and then now the last two seasons. So we thought the conference of the Big East was dead about a decade ago, and they've still ripped off three national titles, all from the same team.
They're good.
But like they've done it.
They reconfigured, and they're still really good.
Yeah, they still kind of had more success than the Big Ten. It's hard to believe. That number about Sweet 16 teams is really hard to believe. It's one thing to not get to the Final Four, and that's, I'm not like excusing that, but that's hard to do. You got to put together four wins or five if you're in the play-in.
It's just
getting two. And like most of the time, if you're a top three or four seed, like you're pretty heavily favored in that first game. So then you just got to win a kind of 50-50 toss-up game in the second round. Man, that is,
you just got to do it. You just got to get some teams in there and do it. Nothing's going to change that. And again, it doesn't really matter. This is fun stuff to talk about. If you get there and win, that's fine. You're worrying about yourselves, right? It's with Ohio State football, you worry about yourselves. What time do you want me out of here for the Jackets coverage? 20 seconds or a minute 20 seconds?
27:40.
Oh, yeah. 20. Right, okay. So you got another minute. I want to talk about this more tomorrow, but I really, really love the hire that Jake Diebler just made. Again, coming off, a couple days off of that Matt Norlander tweet where it turned out that John Calipari desired the Ohio State basketball gig, where you're thinking, oh my God, I need to sit down for a second and digest that news. But this Joel Justice from NC State, we just mentioned, made the Final Four run, and he's had experience coaching under Coach Calipari at Kentucky and being a part of what they've done. He's got experience on a number of levels, kind of a worker, a guy that's pulled his way up from being a, you know, a film guy, a director of analytics. That's what he was his first year on Kentucky staff. But anybody you talk to, I'm telling you, anybody you talk to in coaching circles thinks that this Joel Justice, who Jake Diebler just hired for the staff, is a knockout. He's one of those, you know, guys that has appeared on two different 40 under 40, best 40 coaches in America under the age of 40. So I love it. I absolutely love it. We'll talk more about it tomorrow. But we got some Blue Jackets hockey that we will step aside for. They get the puck dropped at 7 o'clock tonight. And we will do it all again at 6 o'clock. Jackets are next right here on The Fan.
The Buckeye Show is sponsored by CareSource. Proud to be your home for Ohio State Athletics. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.